Good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon. It's been a great morning, hasn't it? It's good to hear God's word and from these men of God who prepared messages, and it's a tremendous blessing to be here today. Today, I invite you, though, to open your Bibles to the book of Jonah, chapter 4. Thank you very much, sir. Thank you. I'm just going to pick it up in verse 9 in chapter 3. And it says here, "Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? Amen. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not." Chapter 4, verse 1, "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed to the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and great of kindness, and repentest thee of the evil." This is the text for today that I'll be preaching on. More specifically, it'll be in verse 2, where Jonah speaks and he says, and he prayed unto the Lord. What a prayer. Huh? What a prayer this was. I mean, think about it for a moment. All these men, they repented. All these people, they repented. And he's saying he's not happy with this. I mean, imagine, wouldn't you be down on your knees, praise the Lord. Glory to God. God's word went forth. It did not return void. People came and repented, got right. Glory to God. That wasn't what we saw. We got something else from a prophet. He says, and he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art, here it is, a gracious God. And that's what I'm going to be looking at today. Our God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is a gracious God. I realize and I understand the balance of God, that he is a God of judgment, but he is a God of love also. Have you experienced his love and that he's gracious? Wow, that's pretty low. You haven't experienced his love and that he's gracious? Amen. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Amen. He's gracious. I love the word. It sounds good, doesn't it? Gracious. We say it often. God was very gracious. I love the word. I love the word because I love what the word means. It means kindness. It means friendly. It means benevolence. It means good and merciful. It means to forgive of an offense, to impart. I love that word, gracious. It's good to know that my God, the one true God, the only God, is gracious. Love the word. But here's Jonah. Jonah, this prophet. God tells him to go to Nineveh. He says, I want you to go here. Jonah says, no thanks, I'm going to go here. God says, no, I want you to go here. He says, I'm going to Tarshish. You know what? Nineveh sounds so much better than Tarshish, doesn't it? I mean, if I had the choice of saying where I was going, I'm going to Nineveh. But instead of, I'm going to Tarshish. It just doesn't sound as good. See, God always sends you to the right place. Whether you think so or not. And Nineveh was where he was supposed to go. Nineveh was the place where God wanted him to preach a message. He wanted him to bring forth his word. He wanted the words coming out of the mouth of Jonah to be God's word. But Jonah didn't want to go. Jonah wanted to go someplace else. Who won in that exchange? Listen, God will always get the glory. He who hath begun a good work in you shall perform it, shall perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. We need to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Why? Because he worketh in us. Amen. Jonah wanted to go to Tarshish. Jonah wanted to go someplace else. But God wanted him to be gracious. Isn't this interesting? Because Jonah is going to preach to his enemy. Think about it. You have Assyria and you have Nineveh, the capital of Assyria. And he has to go there. I wonder if Jonah was a little patriotic. Don't take your country over God. I want to show you something. I know that every word of God is pure. We heard that today and we believe that. Amen. But I noticed something just in my reading, in verse 9, chapter 1, in verse 9, and I don't know, this kind of stood out to me when I say he might have been a little patriotic here. In verse 9, he said, and he said unto them, it's based on the question, right? They look at verse 8, then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou, and what is thy country? And of what people art thou? He answers the first thing he says, and he said unto them, I am a Hebrew. Now watch this. And I fear the Lord. The Bible says over there in the book of Acts, it says they were called Christians first in Antioch. You know what? We are God's children first. We are the people of God. We're speaking of that first. Then, you know what? Then I'm from the United States. Then I'm Italian. Then I'm this. Then I'm that. My title and the greatest title I could possibly have bears the name of Jesus Christ, Christ, Christian. It's interesting that he didn't say, I fear God. It's interesting he didn't say, I am a prophet and I fear God. It's interesting that they asked, first of all, what is thine occupation? It seems like they had the order right. He didn't. See what happens when we get out of order? See when we put something else before the knowledge of God? In the things of God, in the will of God, in the Word of God? You'll see in this passage of Scripture, over and over again, he arises for a moment. It says here, but Jonah in verse 3, but Jonah rose up, but then he goes to flee, and then you see he goes down. Verse 3, he went down to Joppa. He went over there and he went down into it and goes into the ship, goes down to the sides of the ship, going down, 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 down. It's a downward spiral when you're not following the Lord. And when you're not walking and living according to his will, his word, you know what? It's a downward spiral. He found himself going down. You know what he's called? He's called a sleeper. How many, think about it for a moment. When God calls us to go someplace, we go someplace else. Another gentleman already preached on that. We go to where we want to go, and we fall asleep as Christians. We don't do the work that we're supposed to do. We do our own work. We may go to work. We may go on vacation. We may go here and there. But you know what? You're fast asleep in God's work. There are too many people who have been lulled to sleep by the things of this world. But you got to admit, not too many folks want to go preach before their enemies. As a matter of fact, some folks aren't even willing to love their enemies, aren't even willing to forgive. We'll get into that in just a minute. I just find Jonah to be a very interesting character. His name, many will say, it means dove. He wasn't living up to his name. And you know, it's interesting because even the people in the ship, they weren't really living up to their name. And when you think about Nineveh, when at the end of this all, they're not really living up to their name because they get right with God. The only one who's living up to his name is God. The only one who seems to be consistent and faithful is God. We always wonder, will God be faithful? What will God? Will God help us in this? You don't have to worry about God being faithful. God should be concerned with us being faithful. It's interesting, isn't it? Jonah, but at the end of this whole thing, after he preaches, after those 8 words that were mentioned, he preaches that message. What a hard message, isn't it? I mean, really, when you think of those 8 words that are mentioned, I love that, the 8 words. But you know what? In that hard preaching, God is gracious. You know what? We need some hard preaching. We need to know what it is we're doing wrong. We need to know how to get right. We need to know how to stay right. And most people don't want to hear it. They'll heap to themselves, teachers having itching ears. But we're supposed to preach the word. We're supposed to be instant in season and out of season. We're supposed to reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. You know, I love what they say in here. It's interesting. In chapter 3, verse 7, you have the people of Nineveh, you have the king. And in verse 7, he says, listen to this, in verse 7, it says, and he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast hear, listen, herd nor flock take anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. You know, it's what I find to be amazing is that they even included the animals on this thing. I mean, you want to talk about the fear of the Lord. You want to talk about somebody fearing God. Don't even let them touch anything. You know, sometimes we're willing to do things that God wouldn't want us to do just out of the kindness of our heart, but we learn that our heart is desperately wicked. Man, to see animals, that they have them doing these things. And this king, you know, and these people, what they get is very humble in all this. In verse 9, it says, who can tell if God will turn and repent? Let's do this thing. Let's do it. Let's go ahead and do what we're supposed to do here. Let's fast. Let's repent. Let's turn. Who knows if he's going to do anything about it, but we're going to do it. Humility. You know what? We could all use a little more humility. We can be a little more humble. You know what's humbling? When you come here and you hear 5 or 6 preachers preaching, it's humbling. It's a real blessing to hear that, to hear the different messages. I was dying to get up off my chair. I wanted to preach around 9:30, 10 o'clock. I think it was halfway through the first message I was excited to preach. But praise the Lord. But I'll tell you, it's something. It's a great word. God is gracious. Amen. We have a gracious God. And as I mentioned, it deals with kindness and friendliness. It deals with being benevolent and good and merciful. It deals with many of these different things. But you know what? I love the word gracious because of what it's defined as being. But I also love the word because it's often surrounded by many great words. Look at our text in verse 2. And he prayed unto the Lord, said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled. Look at him. I fled before unto Tarshish. For I knew that thou art gracious God, a gracious God, merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of evil. The words that surround that is beautiful. Merciful. Think about that. Gracious, merciful, slow to anger, and great kindness. Go over to Psalm. Let's take a look at it. Psalm 86. In the book of Psalm, it shows it through Psalm 86 and 15. In verse 15, it says, but thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. It's a great word surrounding that, isn't it? Many of them, some of them are even synonymous. Merciful, it deals with that graciousness. Let's look at another one. 103:8. Psalm 103 and verse 8. The word surrounding it. And the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. That's our God. He is slow to anger. Plenteous mercy. Look at 111 and verse 4. Look at verse 3. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. You want to know something? The Lord Jesus Christ, when he walked on this earth, many a times it said he moved with compassion. He moved with compassion. He was cut to the heart for the people. And our God is a gracious God. Look at this. Look over in 116 in verse 5. Again, just the word surrounding gracious. Gracious is our Lord. Gracious is the Lord. And righteous, yea, our God is merciful. He's merciful. And one more. 145 verse 8. And in verse 8 it says, and the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. That's our God. Your God, my God, is a gracious God, one who is slow to anger and full of mercy with compassion. Our God is a God of judgment. Our God is a God of love. Our God is a God of compassion. Our God is a God that is gracious. Sometimes we don't realize that. You know, it's funny. Paul mentions two motivators. It's the love of Christ that constraineth me, he says. And he talks about the fear of the Lord. And he speaks of the fear of the Lord. So work out your own salvation with what? Fear and trembling. Those are two good motivators, I think. Love motivates and fear motivates. Love motivates me. Fear motivates me. Those are two good motivators. Think of it in before I was even saved. Love motivated me and fear motivated me. I mean, if my dad, if I did something wrong, man, I'll tell you right now, my mother would say, wait till your father comes home. You want to know what? That motivated me. I got right real fast. The house was clean before he got home. But you know what? Their love motivated me too. And the love of God motivates, it should motivate you. And also the fear of the Lord should do it as well. I love the words. You know, it was over there in the Old Testament, the law first mentioned, Genesis 43:29. The first time we see that word gracious, it talks about Joseph and Benjamin. It's dealing with Joseph and Benjamin. And it says, God be gracious unto thee, my son. God is gracious. And come to think of it with regard to this message, I go all the way over to the last time it's mentioned. When that king was talking about tasting, not tasting anything, I want to go over to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 3. 1 Peter. Chapter 2 and verse 3. Now before I read these verses, over in chapter 1, you see Peter speaking about suffering and going through trials, tribulations, different things of that nature. But he also doesn't fail to teach us of our eternal security. He also doesn't fail to teach us of salvation and holy living and the Scripture's part in salvation. And then he ends that verse with the eternal book, the Word of God. But I take a look at that, and then he comes in and he says, wherefore, that's why I'm saying that, because that's what the wherefore is there for. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word of God, that ye may grow thereby, here it is, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. You want to know something? They weren't going to taste anything because they were about to taste that the Lord was gracious. Have you tasted that the Lord is gracious? When you think about it, when he's talking about this and he speaks of this, that word taste of the many things that it means, it deals with your experience. Have you experienced that the Lord is gracious? I'll tell you, I experienced it when I got saved. You know what's interesting? I didn't understand all about being saved. Okay, I didn't understand anything. As a matter of fact, I never really heard the preaching and proclamation of God's Word, the truth of God's Word. I went to a church, and we just went through rituals and ceremonies, and I never got anything out of it. One time I had a gentleman take me to church. He invited me to church. The way I met him and what we were doing had nothing to do with church. But somehow, almost if God had something to do with it, I was in this church. It was a Baptist church. And the preacher that was preaching, he preached the Word of God. And he preached on sin. And he preached a pretty hard message. But you know what? For the first time, something got through this hard heart. And I'll tell you, I was sitting there, and I'm not kidding. I'd been witnessed to two times before this. Somebody witnessed to me, and I didn't receive it. I said I was all set. Somebody else witnessed to me, handed me a tract, told me about the greatest story ever told. It was a chick tract. And you know what? I didn't receive it. I didn't deserve another chance. I got one. I learned God's gracious. And the preacher proclaimed the truth of God's Word. That this preacher has gone home to be with the Lord. But I'll tell you, I heard it. And my friend said to me, he says, you want to come up front and pray? And I did the usual. I had a great excuse every time. I'm all set. That was it. It was so simple. You have your father, the devil. And you want to know something? He had it just right for me. I'm all set. Most people just laid off right there. No, I'm good. I'm all set. Okay. About a couple of minutes later, my friend asked again. Then he asked the third time. You know what I said? I said, you know what? Yeah, I do want to come up. I want to see. He goes, let me show you what the Bible says. And you know what? The Lord was gracious. He didn't have to be. He didn't have to be kind. He didn't have to be that way toward me, but he was, and I got saved. Amen. And I'll tell you, 23 years later, it's good to be saved. Amen. I haven't once said, oh, man, I wish I wasn't saved. You don't hear that often, do you? You know why you don't hear that often? Because our God is gracious. He's a gracious God. You know, it's when you're looking at this text, and I'm looking at the fact that Peter speaks of the trials that we go through. You know what? That's when you really need to get close to God. And you know, that's when you tend to see just how gracious he really is. You tend to see how he gets you through the tough times, how he gets you through the struggles and the things you never thought you could get through. And he brings you through them. I mean, you need to be faithful. Some folks just never get it. They're constantly getting, like Jonah. Jonah just kept on going down. I mean, you know, he could have just went over to Nineveh and preached that message instead of having whale vomit on him and everything else. I mean, imagine what he must have been like after that. If he just did what God asked him to do, it would have been different. There's a couple of things that I wanted to show you. This word gracious, when I was looking at it, and I was looking at it in Strong's Concordance, you know, in the Greek, and it talks about, it, you don't really need it because in the English it gives you the same definition. But I'll tell you, you can make some cross-references in the Word of God, and it speaks about easiness and kindness and goodness, that word meaning that. And I just want to show you in a couple of verses and how you could see God is gracious and using those words, but using different words instead of the actual word gracious that's here. If you head over to Matthew for a moment, 11:30. Matthew 11:30. And we're going to pick it up in verse 28. Verse 28. And he says over here in verse 28, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." There's the invitation. There's the invitation. Come unto me. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. And what will I do? I will give you rest. You know what? There was a day when I came unto him. There was a day, if you're saved today, you heard the invitation and you came unto him. And you want to know what he gave you? He gave you some rest. We were going heavy laden, speaking of being heavy laden and laboring. And doing, imagine just all the different things that we are heavy laden with, burdened with. And then one day you come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Look what he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest to your body." No, it's rest to your souls. And then he says here, here's our word, "For my yoke is easy." It's easy. It's gracious. It's easy. "And my burden is light." You know, I don't know what it was, but when I got saved, when salvation took place, I can remember this. I can remember that there was a load lifted. There was something different. Something changed. And you know what? I started to look at things a little differently as I started to look at the Word of God. You know, the Bible says that we're a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things become new. And all things are of God. See, I never even gave God a thought. But I'm glad he was gracious. I'm glad that Jesus Christ, that though I was a sinner and without strength and an enemy of God, that he shed his blood and died for me. You know, salvation was easy. Imagine I didn't have to do works to get saved. I had to put my faith and trust in what Jesus Christ did. All the religions that speak of doing something, he's talking about giving you rest. What about in the way of sanctification? "Take my yoke upon you, learn of me." You know, his way I find is easy when I do it his way. It's a lot easier for him to do a work through you than it is for you to try to do his work. Doing his work in the flesh is awful. But you know, it's a whole lot easier when he's doing a work through you. I find you sleep a lot better too. It gives you some rest. It's good to know when you get home at night and you call it a night and you get ready for bed that you can look back and you say, "Listen, hey, I did this according to God's word. I did this according to God's word tonight. And forgive me, Lord, for where I didn't do according to your word." There's an easiness. There's an easiness. You know, another thing that's the word kindness. Look over at Luke 6:35. You know, it would have been a whole lot easier for Jonah if he just did what God told him to do. It would have been easier. Look at 6:35. Luke 6:35 is another time. "But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is," here's our word, "kind unto the unthankful and to the evil." He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. The word is kind. Now, and he says here, but love ye your enemies. It was the folks of Nineveh that were the enemy of Israel and the enemy of Jonah. Now, and God says, go over there. Go over there and preach. Go over there and give them this message. And you know what? He didn't want to do it. He didn't want to love his enemy. How are we with that? How are you with that? I mean, when you think about it, are you willing to go to your enemy and preach the gospel? That's a great demonstration of love. The Bible tells us that we're supposed to love in deed. That's action. And in what? Truth. There's got to be something that is showing that action. There's something that you're going by for that action. And it needs to be the truth of God's word. And why wouldn't you give somebody the gospel message, the good news of what Jesus Christ did? That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. There was somebody who mentioned about street preaching. Street preaching is not a bad idea at all. As a matter of fact, you see very little of it. Why? Do we have the truth of God's word? We're getting all over Jonah about going in the wrong direction. But what about us? Why aren't we going out to the lost? Why aren't we going out to the enemy or whatever you want to call it? Why won't we preach the truth? Have you ever tasted that the Lord is gracious? Why aren't we kind like that sometimes? Why aren't we cut to the heart? Why don't we move with compassion? You say, well, I do. I do it sometimes. I'm sure. But you know what? It's not too often I walk around the block or 10 blocks or 15 blocks. I like to do a lot of running and stuff. I don't hear anybody street preaching. You know, what about just, I say this to my own congregation, just stand outside and just go like this for 15, 20 minutes. Don't even say a word, just do this. You don't have the guts. I'll tell you one thing, at least he did preach the message. He may have been kicking and screaming the whole way, but he did preach it. Yep. What about us? Have you tasted that the Lord is gracious? If you did, wouldn't you want somebody that you knew? How about, now? Here, let me ask you this. Let's not talk about enemies. Let's talk about friends and family. Do you have any lost family members? Friends? Co-workers? I preach to myself with this. And if anybody's honest, we know we're not preaching to everybody. Maybe we can have a get-together where we street preach. We often say the congregation doesn't show. But do we even have a night when we go out and street preach? Have we tried it? Yeah, it is quiet, isn't it? No more, it's old man, not amen, I know. The goodness. You want to know what? I'm glad that I recognize his kindness, that he was kind to the unthankful, me, and the evil, the wicked, the enemy, me. Do you know when you're without Christ, you're an enemy? Don't bring it up with me. Bring it up with the Bible. Go to Romans and you'll see it. You'll find, listen, we have to realize that somebody had the guts. Somebody tasted that the Lord was gracious and gave us the message, and that's why we're here today. Somebody was willing to risk a friendship. Somebody was willing to get in the fight with you. Get in the back and forth. I know we're supposed to do it in love. But there is some back and forth that comes. That people rejecting you and making fun of you and insulting you. And saying, you say, I don't want to offend. No, you just don't want to. Maybe you just don't want to be offended. I don't know. Let's keep on going. We looked at his easiness. We looked at the kindness. But what about his goodness? Go to Romans 2:4. This is interesting. Romans 2:4. Because we were talking about repentance. Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. And pick it up in verse 3. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and dost the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness, there's the word, and forbearance, and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Hey, in my life, somebody taught me about who Jesus Christ was. Right? Taught me. Go ye therefore, teach all nations. Told me who Jesus Christ was. He became more than just a picture in a stained glass. He became more to me than just a picture in my house. He became my Lord and Savior. He told me what he did. And as a result of that, I saw that he was kind to the unthankful and the evil. I mean, see, I didn't know this was all going on, but when I look back at it, this is what happens. And you want to know what? I turned. There was repentance. It was no longer going my way. It was going to go God's way, and it was going to go according to what God's word said. And you know what brought me there? The riches of his goodness. You know what brought me there? Two things. Love and fear. I didn't want to go to hell. And without Christ, that's where people go. In the lake of fire. And I didn't want to go there. And I learned that through Jesus Christ, he's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the door. And that was one door I was willing to go right through. In the door to heaven in New Jerusalem. I'll be there. That's a blessing. You want to know what? That's his graciousness. That's him being gracious. His goodness, his kindness, his easiness. How about this last one? Head over to 1 Corinthians 15. You see, when you repent and salvation takes place, you recognize his goodness, his kindness, the easiness. What ends up happening is this. There's a relinquishing of corruptness. Watch what it says in 1 Corinthians 15, 33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good. Here's our word. Good manners. That's moral habits. You want to know something that was great with salvation? Is when Christ is in you and you begin to hear the Word of God and the Spirit of God, who is the teacher, by the way. He's the one who teaches you. And I'll tell you, when you begin to learn some things and learn of Him, and God begins to do a work through you, you know what you begin to do? You begin to have some good moral habits. And you know what you do? You begin to get away from evil communications. You want to know what? Jonah, he sounded pretty evil, the way that he was speaking, despising and so on and so forth. Evil communication corrupts good manners. You know what I find strange is that Jonah, the book of Jonah, it ends with a question mark. But I'll tell you, if you've tasted the Lord is gracious, there's no question about it. Amen. God is good. Amen. You may not know everything in the Word of God, and you'll never know everything in the Word of God. But I'll tell you what you do know is you begin to put those things in practice, and God begins to use you, you will see that He's gracious. I pray that you've tasted that the Lord is gracious. Maybe as somebody had done earlier today, one of the preachers, he did an invitation. He invited people to come and receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Have you received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? How about this? If you've received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, how's the holy living? How's a life of sanctification and service and loving God? I'm not talking about studying. The Bible teaches study to show thyself approved to God. Workman need not be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. I know. We are to study. We should study. We should memorize Scripture. We should love God's Word and learn of Him. But where are you with reaching people? Where are you with doing His will? He's not willing that any should perish. The Bible says that He's long-suffering to us. Isn't that the word that surrounds the word gracious? One of those words, long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Are you that gracious? Do you feel the same way? Are you long-suffering to others? Not willing that any should perish? Do you give them the message of salvation? You know you have the word of reconciliation. You have the message of reconciliation. You are an ambassador. You say, I do. I do give out the word. Give it out more. It's not going out enough. You know what? I've never been handed a track in... Oh, I shouldn't say never. I haven't been handed a track in probably 7 or 8 years. The last time I was handed a track, I handed somebody a track in Boston. We were street preaching, and he was street preaching. He handed me a track. I didn't know he was street preaching. Honestly, that was the last time I received a track. You say, well, I do it in my testimony. That's good. You should live right. But you need to open your mouth. You need to tell people about Christ. Paul said, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed to preach the gospel. Are you? When it comes time and it comes down to it, would you preach God's word? Will you give the message? You know, it's not that easy of a message because somebody needs to know they're a sinner. They need to know they're a sinner. They need to know that they're lost. They need to know what they're being saved from. It's not always an easy message. And it's not always before a congregation with most seats filled with believers. Would you be willing to preach it to the heathen? Would you be willing to preach it to the non-believer? Would you be willing to preach it to your enemy? Would you be willing? Would you be like Paul? He says, I am set for the defense of the gospel. I'm outstretched. Preach the word, be instant. In season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Jonah at least got the message out. But boy, he didn't rejoice in it, did he, too much? As far as we know. It ended with a question mark. I don't know where it would have went after that. But I'll tell you one thing. He wrote that book. I don't know. Would you write a book like that about yourself? Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for all you've given us. Thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity to preach the gospel, Lord. I thank you for the people. I thank you for the message, Lord, that have been going forth since this morning. And it was just a real blessing to hear others preaching, and it really touched my heart. Lord, I pray that you continue to bless the preachers, the pastors who are serving you and love you and preach your word, and the congregation, the people who go out and tell people about you, Lord. Give us a boldness, Lord, to preach the word of God. And let us do it with love. And let us do it with kindness. Let us do it with goodness. Let us do it in a way that people know that we have the love of Christ. And that they know that we are your disciple. Lord, we love you, thank you, and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.